You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Well, hello, New Point. I want to give a shout out to all of you who are joining us, however and wherever you find yourself. We're excited that you are joining us. We're kicking off a brand new series today. It's called Better. When life hands you choices, choose better. Choose better. Now, we're going to be looking at a book. It's called Ecclesiastes. Don't ask me to spell that for you, all right? But it is an interesting book. And if you've read it before, what I'd love for you to do is in the chat, just give a thumbs up that you have read it. Now, if you have read it, you may be thinking that it was a little bit more like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, who basically was saying, what's the point of life? Is life meaningless? But I guarantee it wasn't written by him. It was written by the wisest man who ever lived. And through this book, it gives you and I the opportunity to learn and to examine the purpose of life. And so it's going to be an incredible journey. It's 12 chapters. We're going to take a chapter a week. And I just encourage you, if you haven't read it, that you'll read it. If you have read it, that you'll read it again. Now, we can't look at Ecclesiastes without first going back to the very beginning of time and realizing that there's one God who has existed. He is the Alpha and He's the Omega. He's eternal. He's loving. He's good. He's kind. He created the heavens and He created the earth. And when He did that, He said, that is good. And then He created mankind. He created Adam and Eve. And after He got done with them, He said, it's very, very good. And yet here we are today, you know, in a world that is fractured and fallen. Many times we say, why? Well, this man and woman that God created, they chose to go against God's plan, go against God's will. And they thought that wisdom and they thought that life could be found apart from God, outside of God. And so they ended up disobeying God. And because of that, there was a curse that fell upon the earth and death came and life became hard and frustrating. And that's the condition that we find ourselves in today. Would you agree with me? I mean, I think that most of us, I know that I would say that, you know what, life's tough, life's challenging, life's hard, can even be frustrating. We find ourselves frustrated in life. And God has allowed that to happen in this fallen world because He wants you and I to see and understand the wages of sin and the consequences that happens because we don't listen and we don't obey. And so God has set up the world that there's consequences when we don't follow His plan, when we don't do His will. And His hope is that you and I would become so frustrated that we would cry out to Him and ask Him, God, what do I do? What do I need to do? And so God wants you and I to be able to experience His goodness and His favor and His provision and His promises. You see, in light of the fact that you and I live in a fallen world, a broken world, God has made a promise to you and me. Matter of fact, He made it right after mankind disobeyed Him. And He promised to send a Savior. His name would be Jesus, who would be able to restore and redeem everything and reconnect you and I to this God who created the heavens and the earth and called it good, and to be able to restore all that was lost. And so we have to understand that background to really begin to understand Ecclesiastes as we read it. And so today what I want to do is I just want to go through the first chapter, and I'm just going to read through it and make some comments on it. And I know that it's going to help you because it's helped me. And I'm like you and you're like me. And so let's look at what Solomon has to say. He says, these are the words of the teacher, King David's son, who ruled in Jerusalem. You see, God raised up a man. His name was Solomon. And he's the author of this book. And he's the wisest man who ever lived. And as you read through this book, and as we read through this book, what we're going to find out is the theme of this book is boredom. That there's monotonous things that just continue on, and it creates a restlessness in people's hearts and souls. Pretty much like today. So I have a question for us as we look into this book. How many people do you know who are genuinely happy with their life? They're not restless. They're not bored. They're not in the monotony of things. You know, they're not in this cycle. They're enjoying their life. Now, I'm not asking if you do. I'm just asking, do you know anyone who does? Okay? Who is genuinely happy with life. They're enjoying their life. They love their job. They love what they get to do. They're excited about their marriage. They've been married maybe 5 years, 10 years, 15, 25 years, and you know what? They're just jacked. They still have a vibrant relationship that's engaging and satisfying. Know anybody like that? Or are they bored and restless? You see, Solomon, this teacher that he is called, he is one who collects things and he does research and he brings all of this together so that he can be able to speak to you and me 3,000 years later. You see, it says here, these are the words of the teacher. That's Solomon, King David's son. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. God had blessed him tremendously. God gave him tremendous favor, and his favor fell on Solomon. So much that God said to Solomon, Solomon, you can ask for anything that you want, and I'll give it to you. And so Solomon said, I choose wisdom. Wow. I don't know, how about you? If God would give you that opportunity to choose anything in the world that you could have, what would you choose? Solomon chose wisdom, and by choosing wisdom, he got a lot of other things thrown in. He got power, he got possessions, got a whole bunch of stuff that many people long for. And so he writes, he says, these are the words of the teacher, King David's son, who ruled in Jerusalem. And so David appointed Solomon as king. And on David's deathbed, he told Solomon, he said, follow God with all of your heart. Listen to his decrees. Follow his laws. And Solomon did that, and for 40 years they had peace, and he enjoyed incredible favor. But there came a time in Solomon's life of where he kind of drifted from God, and he quit listening to God and following God with all of his heart. And he continued to worship. He just worshiped in the wrong way. And he ended up marrying somebody that pulled his heart away from his God, who he loved. By the way, let me just say this. If you're single, marriage is the second most important decision you will ever make, apart from coming to a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. And as we read through Ecclesiastes, we'll find out that the women in Solomon's life pulled him away from his God of his youth. And so these compromises that he had brought consequences in his life. And so Solomon, as a teacher, is saying, hey, I want you to learn from me. You see, sometimes we say that experience is the best teacher. And I would say, no, it's not. Truth is the best way to learn. Truth is the best teacher. And so Solomon writes this book, and he becomes very, very honest. Very, very honest. He's bringing us to reality. And he displays some frustration in his own life. And so here's another question that I have for us. Have you ever been frustrated? Or maybe I should say this, you know, are you frustrated right now? You know, you're trying to do something and you've become frustrated because it's never perfect, it's never finished, it's never complete, it's never right, and it really doesn't matter how much you invest in it, of your time or of your money. It's just never perfect, it's never right, and it just causes you to be frustrated. It's a little bit like Solomon, because here's what he writes. It's incredible. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher. Completely meaningless. Wow. That would be a frustrated person, right? It's just all meaningless. Ever felt that way? You know, you go to work and you ask yourself, why am I here? I don't even know why I'm here. This just seems so meaningless. And Solomon uses this word meaningless or vanity 38 times. And what he's saying to you and me is that life can be that way. You and I can live life in vain. We can live a life apart from true meaning and true purpose. And so what he's telling you and I is this, that sometimes life seems what? Life seems useless. It's just useless. Where's the meaning? Where's the purpose? What's going on? What's happening? So he says, meaningless, meaningless, completely meaningless. And he uses that 38 times in 12 short chapters. He goes on to say these words. He says, what do people get for all their hard work under the sun? Wow, what a great question. What do we get? Is it a gold watch? Is it a good retirement plan? What is it? He uses the word under the sun 29 times because what he's basically saying is, what do you get for just living here on earth under the sun? He's looking horizontally and he's asking the question, why do I work so hard? There's really no profit. There's really no gain. Goes on to say, generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. He says, one generation comes and another generation comes and another generation comes, and we just die. I remember when I visited the Holy Land and I was walking the streets of Jerusalem and I realized, you know what? There were people here 5,000 years ago. And I'm thinking, and life just keeps going on and on and on, and that's what he's saying. Generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. He's basically saying that we're not making progress, that we're not going to be able to fix the world, that we're not nearly as important as we think. Because what usually happens is this, one generation rises up and says, I understand all the world's problems, and you know what? Our generation is going to fix it. And yet Solomon is saying there's not going to be progress, and that we're not nearly as important as we think we are. And so he says, generations come, generations go, but the earth never changes. He says, the sun rises and the sun sets, then hurries around to rise again. Just a cycle. The wind blows south and then turns north. He continues, he says, around and around it goes. It's like a hamster on a wheel, blowing in circles. Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then the water returns again to the rivers and flows out to the sea again. What he's saying is, listen to the teacher, movement does not mean progress. You can have a lot of movement in your life, but it doesn't mean that you're making progress in life. You know, what he's basically saying is life sometimes can be like a dog chasing its tail. We got a lot of activity, we got a lot of motion, but we're not really gaining ground. He goes on to say this. He says everything is wearisome beyond description. He doesn't even have the words to describe it. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. What's he saying? He's saying that life is a routine. Life is a routine. It can be a rut. And you know what a rut is? It's a grave with the ends knocked out of it. You know, it can just be one cycle after another cycle. Patty and I, we were laughing the other day, and we were talking about all of our kids have been home during the COVID-19, and we were laughing. We were just saying, it just seems like we empty the dishwasher, and then we fill the dishwasher. We empty the dishwasher, and then we fill the dishwasher. And sometimes that's life. That's what he was saying. You just seem like you're on this treadmill, and it's just running on and on and on. And life doesn't just seem useless. It also seems unfulfilling. We're caught on this track, and we're just moving right along, and we're saying, are we making any progress? Are we there yet? He continues with this thought. He says, history merely repeats itself. Wow, isn't that true? It has all been done before. All been done before. You see, what happens is we think we have the answers. Did you see my post? Did you see my text? I got the answer. If we would just do this in America, you know what? It would just solve all the problems. He says, nothing under the sun is truly new. Some people say, here is something new. But actually, it's old. Nothing is ever truly new. There's no new ideas. That's what he's saying. We just recycle old ideas. I mean, look at the way in which we dress. You know, some of us, if you're in your 20s, if your mom and dad would have made you wear that 10 years ago, you would have fought them. But it just comes back over and over. The haircuts, the dress, all of that, it just comes back. We just recycle things. And we think we're going to do something new. I'm going to do something that, you know what, everybody's going to remember me. Solomon says, I got news for you. It's depressing. He goes on to write this. He says, we don't remember what happened in the past and in the future generations. No one will remember what we're doing now. Wow. That's why we end up repeating it, because we don't learn from the past. We don't learn from history. And he says, Dwight, no one's going to really remember you. They're not. And that's life on earth. You know, my mom and dad, both are deceased. They've been gone for 6-8 years. And one of the sad things is, you know what? Life just keeps moving on. You say, do you think about them every day? I don't. You know, it's kind of like this. We have a funeral, and we have a meal, and we do that, and we remember them there, and then guess what happens? Life goes on. Life goes on. I'll never forget when I had my heart attack, and they had open heart surgery for me, and Patty was taking me back to the hospital for my office call and checkup. And we stopped at the gas station, and I saw all these people coming in and out and coming in and out. And I thought to myself, you know what? If I would have died on that operating table, these people would still be doing what they're doing. Why? Because it just goes on and on and on. And sometimes life seems insignificant, not just useless and unfulfilling, but insignificant. And you say, Dwight, man, this is depressing. It is. It is. But I've got good news for you, so you need to hang around, okay? Bear with me. But what Solomon is he's being brutally honest. You see, some of us, the closest that we get to reality is watching a reality TV show. Because we want to see it in somebody else, because we can't handle the reality of our own life. And Solomon is being brutally honest. He's wanting you and I to get a grip on reality, that this is the way that it is. He goes on and he says this. He says, I, the teacher, was king of Israel, and I lived in Jerusalem. I devoted myself. I was intentional. I was dedicated. I was disciplined to search for understanding and to explore by wisdom everything being done under heaven. I soon discovered that God has dealt a tragic existence to human race, that God has allowed something. God did something. That's tragic. He goes on to say, he says, I observed everything going on under the sun, and really, It's all meaningless. It's like chasing the wind. He says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to put myself through a time of discipline. I'm going to collect people's philosophy and their way of doing life, and I'm going to observe, and I'm going to write down, and I'm going to journal, and I'm going to find out what's happening around me. And he says, it's like chasing the wind. You're busy, but it's insignificant, and it seems meaningless. He goes on and he says this. He says, what is wrong cannot be made right. Oh, my. He says, I look and he says, there's a lot of wrong around me, like today, in our world today. But he says, I can't make it right. He says, what's missing cannot be recovered. And what he is saying is this. He's saying that life is uncontrollable. Life seems uncontrollable. I can't make the wrong right. I can't recover what is lost. I can't fix it. I can't even fix myself, let alone those around me. The sad fact is many people don't know that. Many people don't know that we can't make things right because we're not right. And this is God's picture of sin. He says, what is missing? We cannot recover. We don't have the resources to be able to recover. We don't have the wisdom. We don't have the power. He goes on, and here's what he says. He says, I said to myself, look, I am wiser than any of the kings who ruled in Jerusalem before me. I have greater wisdom and knowledge than any of them. I set out, he says, to learn everything from wisdom to madness and folly. What he's saying is to madness. That means I lived a superior life. You know, I went after the very, very best. People thought I was crazy because I was so focused. But I also went to the folly. I thought, you know what? I didn't find it there, so maybe I should downsize. I got the big house. I got the big yard. I got the big car. I got the big boat. And you know what? I didn't find it there in all of my madness, so I'm going to downsize. See, what he's saying is it's on both sides of the track. Whether you're cool and hip or whether you're not cool and fashionable. He says, I tried both. Neither one of them made a difference in my life. He goes on to say this. He says, but I learned firsthand that pursuing all this is like chasing the wind. And here's the big problem. Here's what you and I know. Life is confusing at times. It seems so confusing. Can I put it back together? Can I bring all the pieces back together? And Solomon would say no. He says, but I learned firsthand that pursuing all of this is like chasing the wind. And he says it's confusing. And the Apostle Paul addresses this some 900 years later when he writes this to the church in Rome. He says this, for the creation was subject to what? Frustration. That's what we're talking about. Not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subject it. What he was saying here is Paul was saying, you know what? I understand what Solomon was saying. Creation is frustrated, and that we have a hole in our soul, and nothing can fill that vacuum apart from God. And so Solomon continues, and he says, the greater my wisdom, the greater my grief. To increase my knowledge only increased my sorrow. I don't know about you, but I was talking to our son, Caleb, this past week, and I told him, I said, my heart is so sad about what's happening in America. It just breaks my heart. And we live in a day and age of where we have 24-hour news, 7 days a week, 365. And it increases our wisdom and our knowledge, meaning that we know more about what's going on than ever before. And it breaks my heart. That's what he's saying. It just increases our sorrow. Solomon is saying, you know what? He says, I got all this information, but I don't have the ability, I don't have the power to be able to bring transformation. He understood human's condition, but he couldn't fix it. He understood that we were frustrated, we were bored, we were restless, we were drifting, but he couldn't fix it. And so 900 years later, God sees it and he visits earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus was tempted in every way in which Solomon pursued his pleasure and power and things. And yet he resisted. And he's come to be able to set things right in my life and in your life. You see, all of this stuff that we chase after, it will leave you and me crying in frustration. What's the point? And Solomon comes to this conclusion that life under the sun is pointless, but life under the sun is purposeful. You see, it's when you and I find a relationship with Jesus Christ, the one who's able to restore and redeem and recover everything that was lost. It's that eternal peace that's missing in you and in me. 900 years later, Jesus visited earth and he said this. He said, "Someone greater than Solomon is here." You see, Solomon understood the problem. He couldn't fix the problem. But now we have someone who understands the problem and can fix the problem. Solomon had the information. He couldn't bring about the transformation. Now we have someone who has the information. He understands you and me, and he has the power to bring about the transformation and to be able to make everything right that was lost in the garden. You see, Jesus came to answer all of life's frustration that Solomon is talking about and dealing with. You see, Jesus was greater than Solomon because he was God himself in the flesh. And Paul writes this. He says this. He says, "Because of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. In Christ, we are put right with God and have been made holy and have been set free from sin." You see, what Paul is saying is we've got somebody greater than Solomon who not only has the information, but he has the transformation as well. And that he can make us sons of God and daughters of God. And that he can forgive us of our sins. And you know what he can do? He can give us his wisdom. His wisdom to see things from his perspective so that we can enjoy life and embrace life. You see, here's what I want to leave you with. And it's this. Jesus makes life better and makes you better at life. Jesus makes life better. You say, "Dwight, how does that happen?" You ask Christ, the one who is greater than Solomon, to come into your life, to forgive you of your sins, to fill you with his Spirit. And if you haven't done that, I invite you to do that right now. Just pray. Just say, "God, I feel that life is useless. I feel it's uncontrollable. I just feel that it's meaningless. And I invite you into my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to bring life to me." And he will. And by the way, would you let us know on the chat? Just say, "You know what? I'm making Jesus the forgiver of my sins and the leader of my life." And many of us have done that, but we need to realize that he makes you better at life. And maybe you've drifted like Solomon did. And you've pursued things, and it's like chasing the wind. You thought this would make you happy. You thought this would bring satisfaction, and it hasn't. It's brought disappointment and despair and destruction. And maybe you need to come back and just say, "Jesus, I need you to teach me. I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me. I need you to help me to do life and life very, very well." And he'll do that. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you for Solomon, who was brutally honest and is brutally honest about life, that he gathered all of this around him through the wisdom that you gave him, and he wrote it down in a journal, in a letter, so that we could profit from it, so that we could benefit from it. And I pray today, God, that many of us would take that first step and we would accept you as the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life. And then others of us, we would realize that you're there to give us your wisdom and to lead us and to help us to experience life and life to the fullest. So we thank you for who you are. God, we want to choose the better, and that's you. And we're thankful that you've made it possible. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.